You have this wonderful, wonderful life in Christ. And he says, and look what he says, and you have professed a good profession. Timothy, you've got a good confession. You've made a good profession. You know what we call profession? Confession. And he says, you've made a good profession before many, many witnesses. And you know, Paul, he says, you know, you've been a good witness to me. You've been a faithful witness to me. You profess things, and you're a witness of what you profess. And you've done it in front of lots and lots and lots and lots of people. Oh, my. And I tell you, he said, you made a great, wonderful profession between the apostles and the people of the church, before false teachers and even before men of the world. And then look what he says there, and then in verse 13 and 14. Look what he says here. And this is what gets me. He said, I give thee charge in the sight of God. He said, we're doing this in the sight of God. You know, people want it. There's two times they want a church and they want a preacher. When they get married and when they die. You know, they don't care. Lots of people don't care a thing in the world about the gospel. Don't care a thing in the world about the church. Don't care a thing in the world about being faithful to it and coming to it and hearing the gospel. But preacher, I need to get married. I sure would like you to marry me. Why? Why? This is in the sight of God. You ain't interested in God. They're not interested in God. Why do they want to get married in the sight of God? Go to a judge. Go to the mayor. I'm serious about that. I'm not. And here's another thing. When they die, they say, preacher, my daddy died, or my mother died, or my brother died. Would you care to come preach your funeral? Well, I don't know anything about them. What would I say? But that's what I mean. They want married and buried. And he, you know what Paul said? I give you charge in the sight of God. We've got a charge in the sight of God himself. And look what he says. Who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, before Pontius Pilate, who witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, unto the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, to our Lord Jesus Christ. And here he gives this solemn charge. He lays it before Timothy. And he lays it before all preachers of the gospel. And in fact, he lays it before every believer. He said, fight that good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Listen to the true doctrine. Listen to the doctrine. Observe the doctrine. Make sure the doctrine's right. Believe the doctrine. Lay hold of that. And I tell you, and attend the gospel where it's being preached. And I tell you, be sure. I give you charge to preach the gospel of the grace of Christ. And preach it sincerity. Preach it in purity. Preach it without any kind of a compromise. Whatever you do, don't compromise. Oh, I've heard fellows say, you know, you got to be careful about preaching election, you know. Said, that's a family secret. Well, I'm in the family. Amen. And I want everybody in the family to know my secret. You know, why would you hold back anything? When this is the only thing God will use to save a man. If God's not sovereign, who is? Man, his will, his power? And if Christ, if man is as lost as the Bible says he is, dead in trespasses and sins, where's he going to get life at? He can't give it to himself. Only God can give it. Only Christ can give it. And when Christ died, who did he die for? Did he die for everybody, or did he die for his people, his elect? And then when he calls them and brings them to himself, Are they supposed to keep themselves? No, if Christ died for us, he's going to keep us. And I tell you, no compromise. I mean, make it just as plain, as clear, and I don't want to be ill. I don't really don't. I love, you know how I am. I love the gospel and I rejoice in it. But oh, he says, listen, I give you charge in the sight of God. Oh, in the sight of God. Now that you know, and this Bible's written for all of us. We got a charge in the sight of God. Lay hold on eternal life. And then look at this. Who quickeneth the dead before God in the sight of God, who quickens all things. Now what in the world does that mean? That word quicken means to give life. And God quickens and gives life to everything and everybody in this world. He's the only one that can give life. And he gives it to all of his creatures. But he's also the only one who can quicken us from our spiritual death and give us life. He's the only one that can do that. Oh my. And I tell you, and here's something. He's going to quicken us all, his people, at the last day. But I want you to look over here with me in Acts 17. Look over here with me in Acts 17. You know, natural men in the world and everything in it, they're actually nothing. God is our life and God gives us life. And he's the only one that gives life to any creature on this earth. You know, Job says he holds the breath of every living soul in his hands. And this is what the apostle's saying here in Acts chapter 17. Look down verse 24. Paul's preaching here on Mars Hill in Greece. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, he don't dwell in temples made with hands. Neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything. Now listen to this. Seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. You hear that? Breath, life, and all things. And he hath made of one blood all nations. You know what that means? That every man's got Adam's blood in him until the blood of Christ cleanses him. You go, no matter where you go, we all come from Adam's, what he's saying. For to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed, and the bounds of their habitation. He said, you know, I put you where I want you to live. Where I want you to live. And then that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him, find him, though he be not far from every one of us. Now listen to this. For in him we live and move and have our being. Now, that's pretty plain, ain't it? Who God before all, who quickeneth all things. He said he created the world and everything in it. Giveth life to all in all things. And then he goes on to say here, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. He said, you know, our Lord Jesus, before Pontius Pilate, witnessed a good confession or a good profession. You know, our Lord Jesus Christ, he is both our Lord, he's both our Savior. And when he stood before Pilate, he was faithful. He spoke plainly. And he bare open witness to the truth in the face of the most unparalleled sufferings, even down going to the death of the cross. You know, I was reading today where he is standing before Pilate. And Pilate said, art thou the king of the Jews? And he said, do you say this or does somebody else tell you that? And he says, if my kingdom is, our Lord told Pilate, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were this world, I have a multitude that would fight. But he says, I bear witness to the truth. And everyone that heareth the truth and knoweth the truth believes me. That's what he said before Pilate. Are you king of the Jews?
You saying this to yourself or did somebody else tell you? Do you say he's King of the Jews? Do you say he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords? And he got before Pilate, and he was standing before Pilate, beaten bloody. He had already been to Herod's place, and they'd beat him bloody. They'd done planted the crown of thorns. And he is standing before Pilate. He's standing there bloody and broken and bruised and bleeding. And he said, listen, I bear witness to the truth. And they that hear me, they believe the truth. And said, that my kingdom's not of this world. Thank God it ain't. And we're in a kingdom that's not of this world. Bless his holy name. And oh my. And he faced this. He was a faithful witness. A faithful witness. Right down there when he was getting ready, when they start screaming to Pilate, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. Standing there. And I tell you, then he says this, and then in verse 14, look what he says. That thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, unto the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ. Oh my, you be faithful. You keep this commandment. You keep that everything that I've told you, this charge I gave you in the sight of God to preach the gospel, fight that good fight of faith. You know, know how to behave yourself in the church of God. But he says, till the coming of Christ. And this tells us that what Paul's writing here is not just to Timothy, but to all of us as believers. You know, because I tell you what, we're not looking for man's praise. We're not looking for man's approval and honor from men. But what we want to do is we want to walk, we want to talk, we want to honor, we want to live before God, knowing that God watches us and keeps us and protects us and preserves us. And if we got anything to say about God, about Christ, about ourselves, or anybody else, we're going to tell the truth. We're going to tell the truth. Huh? Oh, before Christ and appearing, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then look what he says. I love this right here. Which in his times, Christ, when his times, he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. You know, when he talks about the coming of Christ, the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord said he didn't even know when he was coming back. Said only God knows that. His Father knew that. But one thing is certain, he is coming back. He is coming back. He'll come and get us. He'll come get us all at one time. But he's coming to get us. And God's going to bring it to pass in his times. It says in his times, appointed by him. And it says here that our Lord Jesus Christ is the only potentate. He is now and always has been the blessed God. That's who he is. He's God Almighty in the flesh. He's the source of all the blessedness that you and I will ever have. And there's an organization. I know some folks that's involved in it, and I know some people that God, after God saved them, got out of it. And they call the big shot in it, the big shot in it, the big shot in this organization, in this society. They call him potentate. Potentate. He's got all the power. I got off on that one time preaching this. And there's two or three of them in the service. And you know, they never went back anymore. They found out that there ain't no potentate but Christ. You know what a potentate means? It means he's got all the power and nobody else has got any at all. Huh? Can you imagine calling a man potentate? That's a potentate. He had to get out this morning, wash his face and comb his hair. He looks like a potentate. But it talks about Christ being the only potentate. The only one. And he's the only governor of this whole universe. Our Lord Jesus rules over the armies of heaven and over the kingdoms of men. And this says here, the king. You know how king is capitalized in the little kings, the Lord, and then the little lords. I tell you, he's king of kings, and he sets up kings and removes them at his pleasure. The king's heart is in the hands of the Lord like the rivers of water, and he turns it the way he will. Huh? And I tell you what, then look what else he says here. This things are so precious to me. Talking about this King of Kings and Lord of Lords, this only potentate, the appearing of Christ, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power, and that power everlasting. Amen. When it tells us here that he only hath immortality, angels are immortal. Fallen angels and the elect angels, they're immortal. And the souls of men, when they come into the existence, we're immortal. We're going to live on. We're going to live on. You know, God made us bodies, living souls, inhabiting bodies. And we going to live on somewhere. The soul's going to live on somewhere. And he said, and the souls of men have immortality. They'll live on. They're immortal. But there's only one person who's got immortality. We're all mortal and immortal. But he has immortality. And only God has immortality. And he has immortality of himself. I mean, if we have, you know, that's what he talks about with believers. He said, this mortal shall put on immortality. But even people in hell are going to be immortal. But they're not going to get a new body. We're going to get a new body. People who perish and they spend eternity in hell, they'll be there with their body that they had and the mind that they had in this world. We will be changed in a moment, in the twinkle of an eye. This corruption will put on incorruption. This mortal will put on immortality. And all death will be swallowed up in victory. But that's what he's talking about here. God hath immortality. He can only give immortality. And he's the only one that's got it. And I tell you, and then it says he dwells in the light. What does that mean? He dwells in such a glorious light that while we're in this old frail, mortal, fleshly body, no man can bear to see the holiness, the glory, and the luster of God Almighty and the shining of God. Moses said, Lord, show me your glory. God said, Moses, you can't see me and live. He said, well, I want to see your glory. He said, there's a rock over here. Get in that rock. I'll put my hand over you. And then you know what I'll do? I'll slip by you from the backside. You couldn't see me before. And he said, oh, listen. Oh, one of these days we'll have eyes to see him. One of these days we'll have eyes to see his glory. Oh my. You know, even the heavenly creatures cover their faces in the presence of God Almighty. They did it in the Revelation. They did it all everywhere you go. And I'll tell you what. I'll tell you where we see God at right now. We see him in the Lord Jesus Christ spiritually. We see him in the Lord Jesus Christ savingly. And even then, we see it so imperfectly, we see through a glass darkly. But when that blessed resurrection day comes, this old human nature is done away with. You know what the scripture says? We'll see him as he is and shall be like him. All right, I've got to hurry on. Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us all richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. And what he's saying here, warn them that are very, very well off, rich, been blessed with great material wealth, been graced with influence and lots of possessions, He said, warn them that they don't be proud. Don't be high-minded. Don't be proud. Oh my, don't look out down on other people. And I tell you, riches are prone to produce great pride in people. Riches make people feel like they're self-sufficient. And rich men, oh my goodness, I've got everything I need. I don't need to pray. Become indifferent to the worship. They walk off and forget the fear of the Lord. But oh my. But oh God and His purpose. And look what it says here. But trust in the living God. Not your riches. And not, because riches are uncertain. But trust in the living God. And this is so. Who giveth us all things richly to enjoy. You know why God gave us what we got? Clothes, money, houses, cars, children, wives, husbands, brothers and sisters. He gives us all that stuff to enjoy while we got it, and He gave us so we could enjoy it. Because we understand, we're standing there with everything. You know how I live? From God's hand to my mouth. That's really how we all live, ain't it? That's how we all live. But all right, let me go on. And then he says that they do good. Much is required of them who too much is given. And they'll be held accountable. And I tell you, true riches is because of grace. And if you have any good works, it's because of grace. And then he says, be ready to distribute, willing to communicate. What does that mean? That means use what God's blessed you with to do for others. What God's blessed you with, use it to do things for others, for the glory of God and for others. And you know, doing good works and sharing with others and being kind to the poor. Now, listen, it cannot, even when they talk about lay a good foundation. I don't care how good your works are. I don't care how much you share with others. I don't care how much you give away. And how kind you are to the poor. It cannot lay a foundation for salvation. It cannot lay a foundation for life. It cannot lay a foundation for eternal happiness. For Christ alone is our sure and lasting foundation in Him and Him alone. Huh? But listen, a man's attitude towards others, his attitude toward material things and spiritual things, and his general conduct and how he lives in this world reveal whether he knows Christ or not, whether Christ has been his foundation, and whether he's laid hold on eternal life. You know, I know a lot of folks give away a lot of things, and they're very, very generous. And we ought to be. If you got anything at all and see somebody need it, you need to help them at all if you can. And then look what he said here now. And I'll wind it up. Oh, Timothy, keep that which is committed to your trust. You know what that committed to your trust means? It's put on deposit with you. He's allowed to be put in trust with the gospel. He said, I've deposited the gospel with you. I've deposited grace with you. I've deposited everything you got. God gave it to you. And committed to thy trust, to your deposit. And he said, I want you to understand this. That gospel's been committed to your trust. Keep it pure. Keep it incorrupt. Faithfully preach it. Don't never be moved away from it. And then watch what he said. Avoiding profane and vain babblings and opposition of fines. Science, falsely so called. Don't get in debates and arguments and babblings about the law. People want to talk about law. People want to talk about circumcision and prophecy and some new doctrine that they've heard and never ought to be introduced. And the false teachers boast. And that word scientific, I was looking it up today, it just means having a superior knowledge. A superior knowledge. They boast of their scientific knowledge and oppose the scriptures. He said, you stay away from them. Just avoid them. Avoid them like the plague. Avoid them. And some pretend to be masters of science and knowledge departed from the faith. You know, this is something I don't understand, and I've seen it happen. And said, some professing have erred from the faith. They've thought they was masters, and they turned from the faith over this business of science. But there is a group now, there's people that believe now, that you can believe in creation and evolution too. And they say that there was things that happened long before creation did, and all kinds of things happened before creation did. So you can say then evolution. But there's no way in the world you can believe evolution and creation at the same time. It'd be an impossibility. Huh? It'd be an impossible. How can you believe in creation and evolution? Some of us have been here a while. Have you got any better? If you're evolving, you seem like you'd get a little better, wouldn't you? But I don't understand that kind of stuff, but people are teaching it. I'm not going to. Would you? No. Our Father, thank you for allowing us to meet here tonight. Thank you for your word. Oh, your word is such power, such glory to it, such life, such instruction for us, so much help for our hearts, our souls, our understanding. And Lord, I know we have this flesh to contend with. That's why we come and hear it over and over and over and over again. We'll listen to something and a day or two later, Lord, it's gone. And that's because of this old fallen nature. But God, help us to always, always, continually and constantly look to Christ, coming to Christ, believing Christ. Oh, may He be our all in all. God bless these dear saints. Protect them and preserve them. Give them a good night's rest. Bless their hearts, bless their lives, bless their homes. Bless them getting up, bless them going down, bless them going out, and bless them coming in. Lord, you can do that if you will. And I trust you will for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. All right. I'll see you. Oh, I won't see you till next Wednesday.